Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to go at this time and get your Bibles and be turning to the book of Luke and find in your Bible Luke chapter 7. We're reading a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for November 19th, 1922 about Jesus being the friend of sinners. And in this particular lesson, Jesus had gone into the house of Simon the Pharisee, and a woman had followed them in there that had washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and anointed them with costly ointment. And we're going to see in this Sunday school lesson how Jesus was her friend. While you're turning to Luke chapter 7, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. And the saints have gathered there to worship for over 100 years. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And this is lesson 151. Now we're reading from Luke chapter 7 and verse 39, where it says, "When the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it," that is, seeing this woman washing Jesus' feet, "he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, that she is a sinner." Simon thought Jesus should maintain a ceremonial sanctity and separation from sinners. Therefore, he spake within himself. He did not express his thoughts, but he reached the conclusion that Jesus was not a prophet. If so, Jesus would know what manner a woman touched him. And if he knew, Simon thought, Jesus would not allow her to do so. What we read in Luke 7 and verse 40, "Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. And Simon answered, Teacher, say on." And then in verse 41 and 42, "A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 shillings and the other 50. And when they had not whether to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him the most?" According to Simon's old standard, Jesus was not a prophet because he knew Simon's unexpressed thoughts and replied to them. Jesus knew both Simon and the woman. Jesus made the reply of these verses to Simon's thoughts. When Jesus said 500 shillings, he's talking about a price of about $85. But when he's talking about 550 shillings, he's talking about $8.50. Both debtors were insolvent and helpless, and their creditor freely forgave them. The lender represents God. The debtors are men, and their sins are debts. All are insolvent. One sin, however small, as well as 10,000, must be forgiven. God alone can freely forgive. Without forgiveness, there is no salvation. But God freely forgives all, the small and the great. If Simon was conscious of any sins in himself, in his own estimation, Simon thought his sins were small. He certainly realized no need of pardoning mercy. Although we know the enormity of sins, this poor, unfortunate woman is the larger debtor. Not that she is really a greater sinner than Simon, but Simon thinks so, and she feels much more keenly her sense of guilt and shame and her great need of pardon. Which had the greater reason for loving much? Simon answered as best he could. Simon could appreciate the forgiveness of a money debt and answered correctly. He, I suppose, to whom he forgives the most. Now here's the application. Luke chapter 7 and verse 44. "And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gave me no water for my feet. But she hath wetted my feet with her tears, and wiped them with her hair. Thou givest me no kiss, but see, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus made the application. He pointed Simon to the woman, turning to her, but looking at Simon. This was a severe rebuke to Simon. In his own house was the proper place to treat Jesus cordially, and where he had every opportunity for expressing honor and love, he did not even wash Jesus' feet. The feet were shod with sandals, and dusty was the travel in those days on those roads. It was hospitable and refreshing to wash someone's feet when they came into your house. On this act of hospitality, we read many times in the Bible, beginning in Genesis chapter 18 and continuing several times, even the 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, about the importance of showing this hospitality of washing feet. If this indifference did not show a want of common courtesy on Simon's part, it does show that he treated Jesus in a most ordinary way. Where he withheld water, this woman poured out her precious tears. Jesus said, thou gavest me no kiss. Now, this kiss was not the kiss like we usually think of, like a kiss between sexes, but this was a common way of salutation. And we read about this kind of salutary kiss again several times throughout in the Bible. Simon had no kiss for Jesus' face, but this woman covered his feet with her kisses. Jesus said, my head with oil thou dost not anoint. Oil for the head as well as water for the feet and kisses of salutation were courtesies of the East. And again, we read of this anointing of oil many times in the Bible. You might be reminded of the 23rd Psalm where it says, thou anointest my head with oil. Simon did not anoint Jesus' head with any oil, but this woman anointed his feet with costly ointment. Simon was self-righteous and unconscious of his enormous sins and was blind to his need of Jesus' pardoning mercy. This woman realized her sins, felt her heavy burden, was truly penitent, and longed for forgiveness and a pure life. Therefore Jesus said to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Jesus forgave her many sins, lifted the burden, and gave her rest. Therefore she loved much. The dearest and grandest blessing of the gospel is pardon of sins. Without all else avails but little. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Romans 4 verses 7 and 8. And we read that to whom little is forgiven, that means he who realizes but little need of forgiveness, such a man can love but little. Many do not come to Jesus now because they do not realize their need of his grace and pardon. To assure this woman of forgiveness, Jesus said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. It is the woman's faith that saved her. They that sat at meat with him began to say within or among themselves, who is this that even forgiveth sins? They knew that God could forgive sins, but who is this who assumes to do so? They were thinking. On other occasions, Jesus was accused of blasphemy because he forgave sins. If he were not what he claimed to be, it would have been blasphemy for him to assume to forgive sins. But he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. These guests did not realize this. Hence, they raised that question. Thy faith has saved thee, Jesus said in verse 50. This woman's faith was not passive, but active. It led her into the house in that public way to Jesus. It was manifested in her penitence and love. Faith, which does not act, is dead. Let me read to you from the book of James. And we read about that kind of faith in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14 and going down through verse 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Thou believest there is one, and that God is one, thou doest well. The devils also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered Isaac his son up upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And in like manner was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Elam writes that we are saved by faith now through Christ, but it is a faith like that described in Galatians 5 and verse 6, a faith working through love that saves. Go in peace is the blessed assurance into abiding peace with God and into that soul rest for which this woman's broken and burdened heart yearned. And the peace of God, we read, that passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And so that concludes the Sunday school lesson about Jesus, the friend of sinners. And then at the same opening, in my little book of Elam's notes, I see the next lesson. It is about Jesus, the great missionary. And the text for this lesson comes as we read from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 59. I won't have time to read all of that, but I'm going to begin reading Luke chapter 8, and we'll do that to the end of the class, and then pick up where we left off this reading as the class begins the next time. So let's begin. Jesus the Great Missionary, Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass soon afterward, then he went about through the cities and villages, preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and with him the 12. And a certain woman, which had been a healer of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, that was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, and Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who ministered unto him, took with their substance. And when a great multitude came together, and they of the city resorted unto them, he spake to them a parable, saying, the sower went forth to sow his seed. We're going to have to end the class there. We're going to begin with this parable, this famous parable called the Parable of the Sower, and see what we can learn as we study the story of Jesus, the great missionary. Listen for the school bell, and when you do that, go grab your Bible, and when you can, come worship with us at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ.